I can feel His presence right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You, Jesus. We worship You, Lord Jesus. I glorify Your name today above all names, God. Because You've done so much for me, God. I almost owe it to You, God, for all You've done for me, God. We love You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. You can be seated if you like. I wouldn't recommend standing the whole time. But you can do it if you want. Well, I'm excited about this morning. I don't know about you guys. There we go. I got one woo. All right. But Mark's excited about everything. I mean, he fixes a divot. He's excited about it, so he doesn't really count. I'm just kidding. I'm excited to be up here today. I'm really thankful for the opportunity to come speak before you guys today. I was going to thank Pastor Roy, but he's not here today, and he tends to miss out every time I preach. I'm starting to think that there's a reason, and I think that so he has plausible deniability for anything that I say. He can say, I have no idea what you're talking about. I did not hear him say that. And he will not watch the tape, so he knows better. I don't know if he's on Facebook right now, but hi, Pastor Roy. But I would like to thank him for this opportunity. It's I don't take this lightly. I enjoy it, obviously, but it's a real honor to be up here. And I don't know if she's in here. She's probably with one of my children right now, but I'd like to thank my wife. She made a lot of sacrifices the past couple days so that I could get ready for today. Yesterday I told her, I was like, you got to get these kids out of the house. So she took them all over the place yesterday, had them gone for most of the day. And so I really appreciate that, her making that sacrifice. We're a team. You might see me up here, but I couldn't do it without her. And then my son pumping me up. I told him I was preaching. He's like, you're preaching? I was like, yeah. He's like, well, I'll be in class. I'm like, okay. Okay, well, that's probably where you belong. But I'm excited about this morning. I guess just a little bit of a warning. If you've heard me preach before, usually I kind of have like a similar approach to things. But today is going to be a little bit different. So if you guys can just like bear with me for like the majority of this message, it's going to be a little bit different than what you're used to with me. God put something real heavy on my heart, and I really don't want to preach about what I'm going to preach about today. I really would prefer not to, and was hoping that someone would call me last night and say, actually, so-and-so's in town, big name preacher, we're going to have him preach and you get scooted over. When they said the director of promotions was here, I was like, oh, great, he's preaching, that's even better. It'll be good. But instead, it's this. So I'm going to ask you guys real quickly if you guys can pray for me. I want to make sure I deliver this appropriately. So, Heavenly Father, God, I pray that You would just touch me right now, God, that You would help me to share this burden, God, that You've put on my heart, God, this word that's heavily weighted me, Lord Jesus. I pray that You would just help me to impart it, God, to the wonderful people here, God, and they would understand where I'm coming from, God, and they would understand the love that I'm trying to share to them right now, God, the message that You've put on my heart, God. I pray that You would anoint my lips, God, anoint their ears, God, and their hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to have them pull up the verse real quick. Mark 16:15. Some of you may know this verse by heart. And we're going to read it real quick. 15-16 says, they said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Right? We know that's the Great Commission. We're supposed to get out there and share the gospel. It says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Amen, right? Anyone here been baptized? Anyone here saved? And then there's this other part. And he who does not believe will be condemned. That's the part that I want to talk about today. Last week, I was listening to a message online, and the title of this message was, Who Cares If a Sinner Goes to Hell? And I know the guy who preached it, and like when he gave his title, much like I just gave my, talking about it now, I'm like, oh, great, this guy's going to talk about hell, talk about how we don't preach about hell anymore and how it's this, you know, all these young preachers, they only want to talk about love and grace and everyone talk about the consequence of living in sin, you know. I'm thinking in my head, like, okay, but, like, he preached this message and it just, it hit me so hard. And one of the, and just the thought of it, of this title, I've been thinking about it nonstop. Who cares if a sinner goes to hell? And I started thinking about all the sinners that I know, you know, that I come across, ones that I know personally, some that I know just through passing by. And it got me thinking, do I really care? And if I were to be honest with all of you here today, the answer is no. The answer is no. I think at some point I forgot how bad hell is actually going to be. And I constantly remember how great heaven seems like it's going to be, right? Eternity with Jesus. I feel like I'm already spending that life with him right now. I have a relationship with him. So it's just more of what a better version of what I already have. But I, you know, and being saved, being baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, because it, to me, it's not an option anymore. Hell's not even on the radar anymore for me. I forget that it exists sometimes. And this leads to a lack of urgency. Because if I believe that there's a heaven, and the Bible does believe, does teach us how great it's going to be in heaven, we have to equally believe that there is a hell, and it's also going to be a terrible place for every soul that enters into it. So you hear a message on hell, or, you know, sinners going to hell and all this, and I'm not trying to, I hope you understand, I'm trying to do this out of love. It's genuine concern. I'm not trying to condemn anybody. I'm not trying to come at anybody, but I just feel very burdened by this. And anytime someone preaches about something like this, or somebody talks about hell, or maybe, you know, read a verse or something along those lines, usually you have two emotions or two reactions that occur, especially if you're saved. You know, one is you're real passionate about it, right? You realize, man, there are billions of people in this world. We have to reach them. Let's start planning, you know, outreaches. Let's get out on the street corners. Let's make some cool poster boards. Like, what do we got to do? We'll have some tent services. Let's go reach the world. And usually what follows that emotion is an overwhelmingness that hits you. And realizing that there are 7 billion people in this world, almost 8, I believe. How in the world are we going to reach them? By the time we get to number 8 billion, another billion will be born. You know, and it's so overwhelming. I was at home preparing for this, and I decided to go. There's this grocery store by my house. It's got like a little cafe area. And I went and sat there and was just typing some of this up, and I don't know, 100 people walked by. You know, just coming and going, getting groceries on a Saturday afternoon. And as far as I know, they're all going to hell. Based on what I believe, based on the scripture, right? And I have no clue how to reach them all. All of them. How do I reach all of them? That's overwhelming. Super overwhelming. And, you know, so as I'm, you know, I knew I wanted to talk about this today, but I really didn't want to, because I don't even know if I have some tools to give you at the end of this, but I don't know if I have the right tools to give you. I don't even know, okay, but maybe these reach some people, but how do we reach all of them? And we have to try. We have to. If hell is real and heaven is real, we have to try. So what do you do when you're overwhelmed by something? Well, if you're me, you eat Culver's consistently, and you just shove it down. Don't even chew. Quicker you're fooled, the quicker the feeling goes away. That's real bad. Don't do that. That's just what I do. It's true. I was given this book to read, and I've been I'm a slow reader, but I'm like on chapter 5 of this book. I'm not done with it yet, so maybe at the end it says something different. But it's called Follow to Lead by Stan Gleason, who's a member of our movement. And he shares his thoughts really on like how to reach the lost. And he kind of, I don't know if he pioneered it, or well, he didn't really pioneer it, but he's really taken a focus and an approach to reaching the lost. And it's through discipleship. And he gives some examples of like how to, you know, take care of a new convert or someone you're trying to reach. He uses like an example of like a stork and a penguin, and how, I don't know, it was pretty interesting. It was weird, but it was pretty interesting. What I took from it is kind of there's the shotgun approach to soul winning, right? Where you go out there and you hand out, you know, Summer Fun Fest can fall within that, and there's no wrong way. You know, we're going to go pass out these cards to as many people as we can. We want to invite as many people, get them here so we can reach them. Or we might have an outreach service where we're just inviting the public to come out. We'll knock on their doors. We're trying to touch as many people as we can. I've never hunted in my life. But I have shot a shotgun before, and it just sprays, and you just go. You're just hoping to hit something, right? You can go down the street, knock on every door, and hope that someone answers the door, number one. Number two, that that person doesn't just slam the door on you right away, and then you get an opportunity to talk to them. The other one is more like a sniper approach, where you kind of stalk your prey. You know, it's discipleship. It's you pick someone out, and you like sneak around them, you know, go on their Facebook, see what's going on in their life, how many kids do they have, how many, you know, times did they watch, you know, that movie and like it? You know, how many, do they watch the same shows on Netflix? Okay, you know, all that kind of stuff, right? You spend a lot of time. And then once you get to know them, you invest in them. You are inviting them over your house. You're teaching a Bible study. I mean, you're like, even if they say no, you're still hanging out with them, loving them, right? It's a really, like, specific approach. You're focused on one person, and you're going to take that person down one way or another, right? I mean, that's the role of a sniper. You wait it out. You got to wait 10 days to take the shot, and you do it because that's what you do. And so I look at those approaches, and I've decided in my life to take this, and this is just like 7 days ago, 6 days ago, okay? So please forgive me if I don't have it all thought through yet. But this is the approach I'm going, and I just want to share this with you, and I hope you guys are okay with that. This is what's on my mind and my heart. This is for me as much as it's for anyone else, okay? So I made a list on my phone of 5 people that I care about and that, as far as I can tell, are going to hell from my experience with them. I just want to tell you a little bit about them. I'm not going to say their names because there may be a day that, well, there better be a day that they're in these doors worshiping with me. But I want to tell you a little bit about them. It's 2 of my coworkers and 3 of my neighbors. One of my neighbors, he's an 80-something-year-old war veteran that lives alone. His wife passed away several years ago. We've had dozens of conversations over the fence line. If anyone has ever seen the show Home Improvement, okay, he's like my Wilson. It's from the 90s, I guess. I don't know. Sorry, young people. Oh, they're not in here. Okay, good. So, like, we just talk over the fence line all the time. About 9 months ago, he had surgery on his hip. And so we took him over some meals. Everybody here is pretty old, right? Okay, good. All right, I'm just making sure. He had this, it was on his pelvis, okay? He showed it to me. I was like, okay, we know each other now. Okay, he's in the wintertime, you know, I shovel or snow blow driveways to make extra money in the winter, and I've come back from my night out, and he's snow blowed my driveway for me in the middle of the night. And this guy's like 80 years old, and he's done that for me. I've done his when I've come back, and he's not up yet. I'll go ahead and take care. When he had his surgery, I did his for him. He's told me all. He was in Vietnam, I believe, and he tells me like all these crazy war stories, and Most of them are super inappropriate stories, but they're really funny, him telling them, you know. And, you know, it's just, he's, no offense to anybody over 80, but they're just old guy stories, you know. And I just sit there and listen, and I'm enthralled by them. He talks about his experiences over there. He tells me about his family. He always teases me about how I mow my lawn. No matter how I do it, if I do vertical, horizontal, diagonal, if I do it every week, every other week, he always he comes out, says, "What are you doing?" I'm mowing my lawn. He's like, "Why are you doing it like that?" I'm like, "How do you want me to do it?" He's like, "Bah." He just teases me all the time. And I used to have, some of you actually helped me with this, but I used to have this giant tree in my backyard. I mean, this thing was huge. It was like two or three of these pulpits was the trunk base, right? I mean, this sucker's huge if you've ever seen it. And I've lived in that house for 2.5 years now, but for two, we cut it down 6 months ago, but for 2 years, outside of me mowing my lawn, he would ask me, "When are you going to cut down that tree? It's going to fall on my house." He's like, "I'm already 80, but I'm not trying to die anytime soon." I'm like, "Come on, man. You know how much it's going to cost to cut it down?" He's like, "I got two young kids. I can't afford that." He's like, "Well, you need to cut it down." I'm like, "Okay, fine." So we were renting the house at the time. We finally bought it and got some money together and cut the tree down. But then there was a huge mess in the backyard of all the branches and stumps. And he's relentless. "When are you going to get all that stuff out of your backyard? I got to look at it out my window every day." I'm like, "Come on, man, take it easy on me." He's just a really cranky old man that I love dearly, and I'm so thankful that he's my neighbor. He loves my kids. He's always watching my kids when they're out in the front yard, and enjoys watching my son play baseball and my daughter just running around. And I really enjoy having him as a neighbor, but I have not reached him yet. Next is there's a 40-something-year-old mother of two that I work with. She's been with the father of her two children, and it's her boyfriend. They've been together for 20 years but never got married. She lives a moral life as far as I can tell. You know, she's not somebody doing anything crazy, but she believes in, like, spiritual events. Right? She's not a Christian. She vaguely believes in God, but she believes in spiritual events and has told me about a time when her sons thought her house was haunted, right? And yeah, I know that she's in, like, she believes in, like, you know, what are they called, like, mediums and palm readers and things like that, or even fortune teller type things. And then she tells me that her kids believe her house is haunted. I'm like, "No duh, it probably is. Of some, you know, something's going on there." You know, but she's the sweetest lady ever. She's so nice, so helpful, and yet, you know, she actually came to the Easter play that I played Jesus in. She sat in the back over here. I invited her for like 2 weeks, and she's like, "Well, I'll see if I can go." She lives kind of down the road here, and she never told me yes, right? I did the whole Jesus thing, right? Carried the cross down, blah, blah, over. Go to work on Monday. "Oh, how come you didn't come to my play?" She's like, "I was there." And I was like, "No, you weren't." She's like, "No, I was." And I was like, "Why didn't you tell me?" She's like, "Well, we were sitting on the pew. I brought my older son, and some, like, 30-year-old man just started bawling, crying during the play, and it scared my son." So we left. And I was like, "Oh, that's too bad." But yeah, so she's come to this church once and had a decent experience. It's not the best one, but she... I don't know who it was. If you know who you were and you were crying, I'll describe her. You know, if you think that was you, let me know, because I'm curious. So she's been here once. I've talked to her about God. I've talked to her about what I believe and all of that, but I still haven't reached her yet. Next is across the street from me, there's a young couple. They have a daughter about the same age as my kids. They have a similar life to mine. The father works multiple jobs to provide for his family. The mom stays at home with their daughter. Our kids play together all the time. We just recently, without being too specific, but she's asked us to watch her daughter for her so that she can resolve some family issues from her youth. and she's gone to see someone about it, and we've, you know, been able to watch her daughter while she's gone and got the help that she needs. You know, so she's, we don't know all the details, but we know enough that she's going through some real difficult things right now. But we haven't reached them yet. The young mother of twins that I work with, she's about my age. Before she had kids, she lived a party life, as she describes it. She was out every night having a good time. Then she found herself pregnant with twins. The father has been in and out, and most recently out of the picture. She's tried to raise these kids on her own, but it's been a challenge for her, as any single parent out there would know. She works hard, but puts up a strong front so the people don't think that she's weak. I mean, she really puts up a front, and, you know, I'm her boss, and sometimes it's really, I don't know who's the boss sometimes, because I'll ask her to do something, and she'll say no. Okay, I guess I'll do it then. But she's just, and, you know, she's great. She's a fantastic employee, but, you know, she tries really hard to not show any weakness. It's where she grew up, the neighborhood she grew up in, the lifestyle that she comes from, the current lifestyle that she's in. She feels like she has to be that way. She also came to the Easter play and watched me get crucified. And she really enjoyed it. She sat with my wife, and she had a really good time. She enjoyed it, but I haven't reached her yet. See, God put these five people on my heart, and I've set a goal for myself, and I'm not saying anybody else has to be this specific, but by the end of the year, that's my goal. This means it's going to take time and effort. I have to be there for them. I have to show them love. I have to talk to them about God on a consistent basis. I have to ask them if they want to come to church. I have to ask them if they were interested in doing a Bible study. I have to ask them if they even believe in God. You see, I work in sales. You know, I work for a rental car company now, and a lot of what we do is sales. You know, we try to get people to spend way more money than they planned on it for their trip. You know, on useless insurance. And no, I didn't say that. I'm just kidding. It's super important. You need it. You want peace of mind. I'm just kidding. It is good. I sell it all day long. I better believe it. You know, we try to get, you know, people into the Camaros and Cadillacs and all that kind of stuff. And that's our job, right? So I'm constantly working with my team to sell, you know, upgrade people, get more add-ons and things like that. You know, one of the things, you know, my goal is I teach, like, percentages. Like, in sales, it's not about selling to everyone. It's about, you know, trying to sell to all of them and hitting a goal, right? You know, if you only need to sell two, well, then you need to ask 10 times to sell two. Or, you know, there's different ways you can go about it and different approaches, and everybody has different goals and metrics and things like that. But for me, in this goal, I understand that I may not get all five of them in reality, right? I may, but I'm sure going to try my best to get all five and get 100% of this. Now, there's going to be other people that I talk to about God and Jesus along the way. I'm not, you know, if you're not one of these five, sorry, you can't talk, you know, you guys aren't in that group, so I have to stop talking now. You know, it's not that. Doesn't mean you don't go to outreach. Doesn't mean you don't, but I have particular people in mind that I'm going to sniper. I'm going to get them one way or another. And so you might think, when you're talking to somebody or you're thinking about talking to somebody about coming to church or about Jesus, about salvation, you know, you might think to yourself, well, they don't really want the church life. You know, you can look at just how they live their life. Maybe they seem too busy. They don't have time for it. They just, they had a church experience when they were younger. It didn't go well. You know, some people kind of didn't go well. For some people, it really seriously did not go well. Like, really bad things happened to them in a church environment. And you can totally understand why they wouldn't want to come back to a church. Like, I get that. But that doesn't change the fact that they're still headed to hell. And I really don't have a good excuse to give up on them, because they don't want the afterlife. And the thing to remember is that we were all sinners like they were at one point. And some of us still, you know, we're all considered sinners until the day we die, right? I mean, it's just kind of the way it goes. And it's easy to forget what it was like before we were saved. You know, we think to ourselves, well, I tried, like, the two people that came to church, I got them here on Easter Sunday. Like, what better Sunday to have them? I did my part, right? But it's so easy to forget what it was like before we were saved. We acted like we didn't need God before, right? We didn't need God before. We tried to figure out life on our own. We lived for ourselves and no one else. And the idea of God coming in and messing all that up just didn't work out for us. It just didn't make sense. It wasn't in our plans. Some of us had that, you know, Paul walking down the path, God slaps you over the head and you're saved forever, right? So I know some people had that experience. They're driving down the highway. God spoke to them, turn left. Boom, they turn into the Calvary Gospel parking lot, right? For a lot of us, it's like, hey, you want to come to church? No, I'm good. Thanks, Mom, but no. No, hey, you want to come to a Bible study? No, I'm good. Thanks, but no, I don't need to. Hey, we're coming to this Summer Fun Fest. You want to go? No, I'm okay. I'm busy. I got something going on. You know, someone had to come after us and get us. See, Romans 5:8, and in verse 8 it says, but God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, I could stand up here and tell you about all the sin in my life. I could tell you about all the pain that I covered up with the things of this world. I forgot, but none of that matters. I forgot that Jesus died for the worst part of me. Not for the guy standing up here right now at a pulpit, this version in a suit that seems to have his life together or whatever. I'm a long way removed from sinner before I was saved. I've lived a lot, been to a lot of church services, read my Bible a whole lot, been to Bible studies. A lot has changed in me. He didn't die for this version of me. He died for the ugly part of me, the part that I don't want anyone to know about, the part that I'm ashamed of, the part that he's probably ashamed of as well when he knows what he's done for us as humanity. But he died for that part of you. So I know a lot of people think, well, I'm too bad. I've done too much. I've said too much. I've thought too much. But that's the part that he died for, not for the good part. Anybody could have done that. He died for the ugly part of you. And so a lot of you are, including myself, I went up for a night and came out to family camp or went to youth camp. And so now what? You're fired up. You're recommitted. Yeah, we have a church, a building right here that is not at capacity every service. We have daughter works out there that are in small rooms that should be in large sanctuaries. This is a community that can be reached if we are focused. More important than filling this space up here is the lack of another space filling up, and that's hell. I know I forget sometimes that still happens to sinners. So if they're not in here or someplace like this, they are probably going to hell. Revelations 21:8 says, "But cowards, those who refuse to believe, who do evil things, who kill, who sin sexually, who do evil magic, who worship idols, who tell lies, all these have a place in the lake of burning sulfur." Matthew 25, "These people will go off to be punished forever." 2 Thessalonians 1, "Those people will be punished with the destruction that continues forever. They will be kept away from the Lord and his great power." Matthew 13:50, "And throw them into the blazing furnace where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Matthew 25:41, "Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devils and his angels." These are just a few scriptures that describe. I started, you know, trying to find a really, like, poetic description of what hell is like. And as I just started to read some of these, they brought me to tears, and I couldn't go through with it. So if we know hell is a terrible place, and we know that hell is eternal punishment, and the word eternal is super important as well. It's fire, it's burning, it's pain, it's weeping. Where is our urgency? Where is our passion? A reminder, I'm preaching to myself just as much as I'm preaching to anyone else here. God challenged me, and I simply want to share it. See, there are roughly 570,000 people in the Madison metro area. This is way too many people for us to reach. But we can't think of it that way. You see, if there's roughly 300 people here today, if each of us won 4 people each year for the next 5 years, we would reach roughly 300,000 of those people. So the 300 that are here now won 4 people. We now have, somebody who's good at math, 1,200 people. Those 1,200 people now reach 4 people next year. That's, okay, it's getting too high for me. It's 4,000 something, right? 5,000. Now, those 5,000 people reach 4 people. We're 20,000 plus. We're only into year 3. Those 20,000 people reach 4 people. We have 80,000 people in our movement here in Madison. That's in year 4, right? We can't do it with just us here. I don't believe that we're supposed to. I believe that there's supposed to be another 300 people here sitting in this room by this time next year, if not more. My goal would be everyone reaches 4. But the church itself will take kind of the shotgun approach. You know, we'll do the big events. Some of you are even involved in those. You know, you're going to be involved, and we're going to try to reach as many people as we can. You know, we have Summer Fun Fest coming up. That is a great opportunity to bring people here, to show them love, to get them into the community, to just introduce them to all of this. Brother Buster is going to be here next week. You have someone who needs something supernatural to happen in their life, you can almost guarantee something's going to happen. There are 2 immediate opportunities for you to get someone here, or to talk to them about what's happening here. You see, we must act as snipers and be calculated and focused on reaching and discipling 4 people. 4 people. Loving them and bringing them along with us on this journey. See, all of a sudden this goal is attainable. Now the ushers are going to help me out here in a second. They're going to start passing out some little papers. You guys can go and start now once you're ever ready. And it's just a small sheet. It's the equivalent of what I did on my phone. Scott says, reaching people, I don't know what I put on the top, but, you know, people to reach in 2018. And there's 4 numbers. 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm asking you to take some time and fill that out. Now, I want you to put people who, they got to be people on your heart. It can be family members. It can be friends. It can be coworkers. It can be people you've already reached out to. It can be people that you have avoided talking to for years, months, whatever. You can put whoever you want on the list, but they need to be people that you truly care about, that you don't want to see go to hell. And I know you probably want to put more than 4, but I'm asking you to just put 4. Just 4. Because I want this to be obtainable. One, you know what? I talked about I do sales, and one of the most important things about setting goals in sales is making sure they're obtainable. And I know Pastor Roy did a whole thing on goals, setting goals earlier in the year, and it is fantastic. And we should take that to heart. But You have to set obtainable goals. What's the, you know, if we stand up here and say we're going to reach 530,000 people, it seems unattainable. But if you can reach four people within your own ministry, every one of you, I'm telling you, you can do that. It's four people. If you're really smart about it, you'll just get a family of four and win them. Smarter, not harder, right? I'm going to try to find like a Duggar-like family and just try to convert the whole thing. Say, well, my 5 years, I'm done. I've done mine. It's just four people. And take some time. I want you to think about it. And the musicians can actually start to make their way up here too. Now remember, these are going to be people that you have to show love to. These are people you have to step out of your comfort zone for. When they tell you no the first time, that's not going to stop you. It can't stop you. If that person tells you no and you know you can't go after it again, don't put them on the list. If you're too afraid to reach them, too comfortable, too scared, whatever, don't put them on the list. Or get down on the altar here in a minute and ask God to give you the boldness and the strength. Because these people are going to tell you no. Guarantee it. They're going to tell you no. And we're not trying to beat it over anybody's head. We're not trying to trick anybody. If you've ever done sales, first no means maybe. So you have to be ready for that. You have to know. I heard someone say that you have to invite someone to church 9 times before they'll come. Maybe that's the average. I don't know if that's true or not, but if that's the challenge, then let's do it. 9, that's not much. That's not hard. Sarah said no to dating me, I don't know, 1,000 times, and I kept trying. Sniper, that's right. That's not entirely true, but whatever. So you have to be willing to step out of your comfort zone. You have to overwhelm them with the love of Jesus that is inside of you. That means sacrificing your own desires. You know, whatever you do on a Saturday afternoon might be out the window for a little while because they need help moving. Or maybe it's saving some money during the week so you can have them over for dinner. Maybe it's working on their car for them. Maybe it's mowing their lawn. Maybe it's dealing with their teasing about how you mow your lawn for weeks on end. Maybe it's watching their kids for them so they can go get help. But we have to show them love. Now, if you're on a pew here somewhere and you have not made this decision to choose where you're going to spend eternal life, we can show you the way. We simply follow what the Bible says. And again, Romans 5:8 says, while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. He died for us so that we wouldn't spend eternity in hell, but we would spend eternity in His awesome, awesome presence. You know, I told my wife, I don't know if it was on Thursday or what day it was, but when I was preparing for this message, I said, you know, I want to preach something really good. I don't want to just preach like some John 3:16 message. And yet, late last night, I was finalizing everything. The verse that I could not get out of my head was John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish. They will not perish. There's a comma there. But have everlasting life. That's what he has for us. For every one of us here today. For everyone on that list. For everyone in this city. Everyone in this country and everyone in this world. And this world needs Jesus so bad right now. I have heard it all my life. This world is getting worse and worse. And in my short life, I like to think it is getting worse and worse. That means we have to become more passionate. We have to have more urgency, and we need a plan. If we could all stand. Now we're going to, what I want you to do, I want to do two things today. Number one, most importantly, if you have not reached this point in your life, if you're not sure where you're going to spend eternity, this is for you tonight, today. This is for you. We want to help you. Some of you may be on someone else's list already. You may be on someone's prayer list already. God spoke to me and put this on my heart to tell you that he loves you. And he wants you to spend eternity with him. Because he loves you that much. He wants forever and forever and forever and forever with you. That's a pretty loving God. And for the rest of you who are on fire or somewhere close to that, and you wrote those names on this, so this is a day you consecrate, that you commit. My goal is by the end of this year. That's just my goal. I'm not going to stand up here and be super spiritual and guarantee it, but that's just my goal, is by the end of this year, I'm going to reach those people. Somehow, some way, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to be detoured. I'm going to reach them. And whoever's on your list, you can do the same thing. Whatever you commit to, whatever timeline you set in your heart, that's between you and God. And if you don't make it by then, guess what? You set a new one. And you check off these four people, you make a new list. Because we got to do this every year for the next 5 years. Is everybody okay with that? So I'm just going to open this altar real simply. If you need Jesus tonight, I want you to come down to the middle right here. If you know where you're going right now for eternity and you want that to change, this spot's for you. We got plenty of people that want to pray for you today. Otherwise, the rest of you, this altar is open for you to make that commitment and that consecration to those names on that list. Say, God, I will do whatever it takes. I'll do whatever it takes to reach them. I'm coming down here to make a commitment to them, to the names on this list, and to you, God, that I'm not going to let them spend eternity in hell. I'm not going to let them perish. I'm not going to let them be punished for eternity, but God, I will stand in the gap. I'll be the one that fights for them. Hallelujah. If you have someone on your heart that you want to reach, I want you to come down here and I want you to pray for them. I want you to call out their name. Hallelujah. Jesus, I need you, God, to lead me. God, I need your help to reach them. Lord Jesus, Lord, I care about these people. I don't want to see them lost, God. Help me, God. Give me the words, Lord. Help me to not be afraid. Help me to have boldness, God, to reach my community, God, to reach my neighbor, to reach my family, God. Hallelujah, Jesus.